Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's really a privilege to be here with you guys. It really feels like family, just to be in the house of the Lord. I'm not Anton's father. I'm not in any way related to him, in fact, but I am family. That's the problem. We're all together, and I'm from Secunda. I've got Rudy here along with me. It's great to have him here with me. But yeah, it's really an honor and a privilege to be sharing the word with you guys in Standerton. Anton and them send their regards from the Cape, and they're really having a good time at the conference. I'm really hearing a lot of good things, and my dad's also there actually, and it's really amazing. So next year we'll be there. let's just start. Let's just open this morning in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for just this amazing day that you have made, Father, and that we can rejoice and be glad in it, Father, and know that you are truly God, and that you have created this day, you have created each and every one of us, especially and uniquely, Father. We really want to give you glory for just your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, and the privilege that we have to be able to worship you freely in this place, Lord, and to know you, God, and to have friends and family and fellowship like this, Father. And we ask that, that you will be with us today, that your Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth, Father, Lord. Just ask that, that my heart will be open, Lord, to your Spirit's leading and guiding, Father, that your word will not return void to you this morning. Alright, this morning my sermon is entitled Get Going. How many of us have heard of the Great Commission? Sure, we have. Where do you generally find the people in the Bible? Matthew 28. Yeah, that's the one that we most know. You can go to Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" And that's what Jesus' Great Commission is. Isn't our church's vision quite similar? Who knows the church's vision without reading? To reach nations and generations through leadership, through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. That's the vision of Shopo Christian Church, and that's so closely linked to the Great Commission, and that's really amazing to know that we're in a church that is obedient to what God's command is. But I just want to specifically, the Matthew 28 is the one that we specifically mostly know about, but the other one that not so many of us are maybe as familiar with is at the end of Mark, actually. In Mark chapter 16, from verse 14 to 20, and I just want to give a bit of a context here. So it's right at the end, it's after Jesus has risen from the dead, the three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary mother of James, and Salome, they go up to the tomb, and they find it empty, and they sort of are a bit freaked out, and they run home. And the next day, then Christ appears to Mary Magdalene, and she runs off and goes to the 11 disciples and says, "But Jesus has appeared to me, like I saw him, and he's alive." And they were like, "No, it's Jesus alive." And they were all sitting there mourning. And then he appeared again to two other people, two of his other followers. And they also came running into the 11 and said, "Well, listen, we've seen Jesus. He's alive. He's not dead." And they still didn't believe him. So let's read then what happens next. "Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.' And so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. So that's the Great Commission again. That's sort of a different one that we don't often quote or read or know so well. But just something interesting to notice, if we look at specifically verse 14, where he said, "Later he appeared to the 11, as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after his risen." And this doesn't come in Matthew at all. You don't really read about that, but Christ actually rebukes his disciples there when he first appears back to them after coming back, and he says, "Why would you believe? Why were your hearts hardened? How could these even disciples who walked so long with him, they saw all the signs, all the wonders, he told them he's going to rise again, but they were so still hardcore, they didn't know, like, they didn't believe that he was really going to be alive." That's really interesting for me. How often are we not just the same? Where, you know, God has done so much in our lives, he's saved us, and he's done these amazing things, and we just experience him in amazing ways, but then, you know, something difficult happens, or a tough situation, and we still doubt him, and we don't know, like, you know, where is God now? Like, we sit there up in the upper room mourning and not thinking that he's still alive. And that's why, just an aside, it's so important to build monuments to God. It's so important to constantly recognize what he's doing in our lives. All the small things, even whatever it is, to testify, to share that with believers, with the fellowship of believers. I mean, I was just, the other day on Friday, I was on my way to a wedding, and I had to quickly run into town and quickly go get a card sold for the wedding and things. And I was in a rush, I still had to get all the way to Pretoria. And I was like, "Lord, like, I need to get parking, like, yeah, in front of the shop. I need to get in, get out, like, quick and clean." And it's like a busy little parking lot. There's never parking there, ever, especially on a Friday afternoon. So I'm like, just driving the car keys, Lord. Come in, cruise board, cars reverse lights out, pull in there, thank you, Lord. And just small things like that. But, you know, it's just to constantly remind us of what God's doing in our lives, and to not deny those things. And another one of these things that, in terms of, you know, doubting God and having a spirit of unbelief, is not to ever get isolated or to ever go on your own mission and just to think, you know, I can figure this out on my own, it's tough now, and I don't want to see church people and be around church people. And it's so important, especially in those times, to be around your brothers and your sisters, to be around your family, and to share with them what's going on in your heart. I have a story of a guy when I was still at Res in Stellenbosch, one of the younger guys, and he was going through a really tough time, and he was really, you know, not doing well at his studies and failing, and he was a bit depressed and everything, and it was the final exams of that year, and he just decided, no, like, he just needs to go home now and get away from everyone at the Res and not go to cell or anything. And it was just exactly like what the devil wants. He just wants you to get away from your family, he wants you to get away from your brothers in Christ. And I just called him up and I said, "Listen, you really got to come back. Like, come back to Res. Come study here. Come be around your brothers so we can support you and encourage you. Because if you're on your own, it's just a place where the devil can just have time to minister to you and to let your thoughts wander." Anyway, so back to Mark chapter 16. So Jesus has just rebuked his disciples now for their hardness of hearts and for their unbelief. And then let's read in verse 15. "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" So yeah, Jesus giving his disciples a command, the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So it's interesting, he didn't, like, he's just rebuked them. He's just told them, like, "You guys, you're unbelief, you have a hard heart." But then he still gives them the command. He doesn't write them off and say, "Okay, like, you guys, I'll go find someone else. Like, you guys are useless now. Like, seriously, how can you not believe me?" He decides, and he has faith, and he knows that he can trust them, and he wants to give them the command to go forth with that. And that's so important for me, that God... you know, that God... you know, that God is the same with us. You know, he doesn't write us off when we have that unbelief, when we're going through tough times and we just think, does God exist? Does he really know about me? But he doesn't. He wants to give us another chance. He wants to still share his word with us, even when we feel so unworthy and you feel so like you don't deserve absolutely anything. God still, his word is still true, and he still wants that to happen in us and through us. And this command where he gives his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel is really a call to action for the disciples and for us. It's applicable for us today, obviously, as well. To go into all the world, to share the good news with whoever and whenever. I know what it means by every creature. I don't know if we should be ministering to dogs and things as well, but to every human creature. But when I read that piece of scripture, it says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I don't read this as like a suggestion, or merely just a plea, like, guys, please, try and spread the gospel as best you can, if you get a chance, just spread it. But if it's not your gift, then, to speak to people, or whatever, you're not good at that sort of stuff, then don't worry, I'll get someone else to do it. I don't know, I don't see it as all like that. I really see this as a command from God. And do we take this command seriously? Or is God's grace just enough for us and we don't really have to worry about it? I really believe that this is something that Jesus has commanded us to do, is to go out to the nations, to reach people and to spread the gospel, to spread the good news, to testify what he's doing in our lives, to not just sit where we are and be comfortable. I was last week at the Passion Worship Group concert in Pretoria. And it was amazing just to see them and how they are, as a church and as a worship group, taking up that great commission. They were going around the world, touring the world, and they're just spreading the gospel of Christ and encouraging people. And it was just amazing to sense the presence of God there, know that these people, their hearts are right, and their hearts are there to share the gospel, to encourage people to... it was really amazing. Just the new video, I'm sure you guys have seen a lot of those DVDs of the new video. Chris Tomlin, the worship leader, we sing a lot of his songs in church. You probably don't even know it, but he's written a lot of the worship songs. So it's just amazing to see their hearts and how they take up this great commission, how they're obedient to that. Let's carry on reading in verse 16. It says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So that's quite challenging for some of us. Jesus sort of gives conditions almost of salvation. And he says you need to believe in him and you need to be baptized. So the belief is an inward reception of Christ. This is that where you receive Christ and you say, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Where the baptism is actually sort of an outward testimony of that belief in Christ. And an outflowing of your obedience to God, taking that next step in obeying his word. And I'm not going to go into much detail about baptism or tell you that you must get baptized, but I'll get baptized. go and read scripture, the word of God. There isn't a great area on this. Unfortunately, we do live in a world now where everything is sort of human rights, and it's how I feel, and if I don't like it, then I'm not going to do it because I don't feel like it. Don't tell me what I must do, but this is the God of the universe. This is his word. This is the truth. And this is what he tells us to do. And he tells us to live by those things. It's time to really stop living in our comfort zones and being complacent with the things of God. Whether it be baptism, whether it be this great commission that I'm talking about now, are we just complacent about it? Are we just, it's a nice thing, we talk about it every now and again, but are we really taking it up? Are we taking it seriously? God has given us his word to live by. Not because he just thinks it might help us, or he thinks it's a good idea, try this, this might work for you. He knows what's good for us. He made everything. He made life. He made us. He formed us. But we're just a little bit stubborn sometimes to listen to his guidelines. So if you haven't ever made that decision, also specifically even to be baptized, then I want to encourage you, and I believe the Lord's really leading me to challenge you on that, but it's really... going to seek God on this and speak to his, from his spirit. Take up the Great Commission is one of those things as well that we're still talking about, just about not being complacent on that and taking it really seriously. Alright, verse 17 to 18 says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So Jesus is just sharing a bit about what will happen if we're actually obedient to that. If we follow his great command, if we do that great commission, and what are the things that are going to happen? Amazing things like flowing in the gifts of the supernatural, miracles, supernatural protection, to drink poisonous things and not have it affect you, pick up snakes and throw them away. But how often is this actually happening in our lives? Something that you guys experience every day, that you drink poison and die, please don't go and do it. No, and why not? I really think this is this is because directly of what we read earlier, this is because of unbelief, because of the hardness of our hearts, and because we're not obedient to God's call of the Great Commission, to take it seriously and to go forth with that. Because I really believe that these things are not for them and what happened back then. I believe that God, this is relevant to us all every day and still today. And that's the challenge to take up that Great Commission and to trust the God and to trust the Lord that he's gonna be with us, and these signs and wonders will follow us for his name, for his glory. Moving on to verse 19 and to 20. It says, "So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. So as prophesied in the Old Testament, Jesus ascends to sit at the right hand of the throne of God, which is, you know, it's prophesied many, many times in the Old Testament. But then straight away, after he left, like, what did the disciples do? They took immediate action. They were like, they put their money where their mouth is. They turned their faith into works, and they were obedient to what Jesus had just told them, to go out into the nations. And as soon as he left the earth, they literally, they dropped everything and went. There we see in verse 20, it says, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." But wait a minute, aren't these those same guys that Jesus just rebuked a few verses back? You know, rebuked their unbelief and hardness of hearts. These are those guys who were struggling with unbelief, and now, like, Jesus just told them one thing, and they're like, "Yeah, let's go." So those exact people, it's those people who struggle with unbelief. And again, that's the same with us. You know, when we so often struggle with doubting God, and we struggle with that unbelief, this is a perfect example of just exactly how we are. But they did it. They took up that, they took up their cross. They obeyed the command of Jesus Christ, and they went. And so the challenge today is really also, but why don't we? What's stopping us from doing that? Why are we still struggling with unbelief and hardness of hearts so often? And today I really believe that, you know, I just want to share a bit about complacency. And I think complacency is a large factor in our lives. In obeying God's command of the Great Commission. If we look at the definition of complacency, I looked it up in the dictionary. It says a feeling of self-satisfaction, especially when coupled with an unawareness of danger or trouble. Emphasis there on the self-satisfaction. It's really a selfish place. It's a place where it's all about you, not about anything else. And so that's definitely something that hinders you in terms of going out, because God says go out and preach to the nation. So if you're in a complacent place, it's all about you and what's important for me. I believe that this is really something that hinders us in carrying out that Great Commission because of that inward focus. And while preparing, I thought about this word complacency and what it means, and what the fruits of it is. We're in this complacent state. And some of these fruits are selfishness, as I said, self-satisfaction, being comfortable or in a comfort zone, disobedience, being stagnant or no growth, not going anywhere with God, not drawing closer to God, having an inward focus instead of an outward focus, sort of links a bit to selfishness as well. And then offense, I put there as well. Notice just the people that are complacent it's a lot easier to get offended when you're challenged, because it's about you, you know, and you're challenged now to do something else or do something for someone else, then you're somewhat offended with that person. And these fruits all basically the underlying, they lead us to not fulfilling the Great Commission, because it's just a self-focus, it's just about me, it's not about anything else. And Jesus is not about me, he's about people, he's about everyone. And he wants us to go out and to share the good news with everyone. And my spirit-filled Bible actually gives quite a nice little helpful insight into someone that isn't complacent. It talks about a Christ-like servant. And it says they do so wherever and however God sovereignly directs, whether it be through their giving, their going, or their prayerful intercession. They do so wherever and however God sovereignly directs, whether it be through their giving, their going, or their prayerful intercession. And that's basically what a Christ-like servant would be doing. It's not about them. They're going about where God calls them, where God's will is, where his design is for their hearts. And as I said earlier, like, you know, God made us, he made everything, he knows what's best for us. I think it's not just a suggestion that he tells us to do something. And the fruits of these type of people, of a Christ-like servant, are always godly. They're not selfish, but they're selfless. They're not disobedient, but rather obedient. They're not in that comfortable place, but they are challenged. They're always challenged in the wanting to go further. They're not stagnant, but they're growing. They're drawing closer to God, and they're excited about that. And basically, the underlying thing is it's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about them. They're not worried about their lives and their little kingdoms that they're building and what's going on in their lives, but it's about what Jesus is doing and what he wants to accomplish in them and through them. How do we today overcome this thing of complacency where we so often fall into that thing of just, you know, it's about ourselves. And I really believe that this scripture in Mark actually answers it for us. Just how to overcome that place of complacency and to walk in the fullness of what God has for us. If we just briefly recap, looking at it here, it's in the first part, Jesus first rebuked his disciples' unbelief. He came to them and he rebuked their hardness of heart and their unbelief, and he said, that's not cool. Then he said, here's my command, here's the Great Commission, go out, go and share the gospel with everyone. Then Jesus was taken up and his disciples obeyed that command. That was the third step. They took that to action. They obeyed his command. They went out together, and the Lord blessed them in that. And so very simply for us, I feel, is really similar today as well in terms of the Great Commission. How we can apply that in our lives and say that when we have any form of unbelief or hardness of heart in our hearts, that we rebuke that specifically, that we take authority over that, even in other people's lives around us that we know well, their accountability, partners, guides, and so on. But just to say that there's this thing of unbelief in our hearts, and to rebuke that and to not allow that to come into our hearts, to not allow that to rule our thoughts and our minds and where we go. There's really an authority that God gives us to take authority over that spirit of unbelief. And secondly, to then read the Word of God, to delve into Scripture, to understand the Scriptures with the help of obviously the Holy Spirit, to hear what's on God's heart for us. Specifically, like the disciples, you know, like Jesus gave them the Great Commission at that time, and for us to understand what the Great Commission means, what's on God's heart for us. And finally, but very crucially, to get going, to start going, to be obedient to what God's command is. Like the book of James says, it talks about, show me your faith by your works. To declare God's kingdom and to prove that by going out and doing it. It's so not about us, any of us. It's just we really need to step out in faith and to go and just to allow God to reveal more and more of his heart to us as we just walk in obedience to his word. I really believe that this is just one small way of just of how we can overcome complacency. And it's so powerful to have a fellowship of believers and friends and brothers in Christ, because that's where it's at, to walk with each other, to run the race together, to encourage each other and say, but listen, let's take this thing on, let's go out and do what the Great Commission says. And it's, for me as well, it's so important that us as in church and individuals in church, that we take ownership of things in church as well, you know, not to rely on someone else to do something. But for us as a church and people in the church to begin to cultivate an outward focus amongst us, to stir that up and to start with initiatives, to not wait for the leaders or for someone else to say, okay, we're having this outreach event now or something, and okay, cool, I'll be involved, that's awesome as well. But for us as a church to stand up, this Great Commission isn't for leaders of the church. We're all leaders in the church, it's for everyone, for every single one of us in the church. And I'm just reminded of the Secunda at our church. We have a soup kitchen initiative going on. Some of the guys that sleep out on the streets at night and things. And we started a while back. Last year we did it once or twice. And the fruits of it were really amazing. This year while we were praying and fasting, and it was a few months back when we were praying for that whole weekend, thinking you guys were maybe doing it as well for all the shepherd churches. And again, someone felt, you know, like to go forward with the soup kitchen again and to reach out to people in that way. And it's really amazing to see the fruits of that. It's also just that place of an unselfishness, just giving of yourself, having an outward focus. It's really an awesome place. That's just one small example. And another one is one of the challenges in one of our small groups a few weeks back was to not pray for yourself for a day. sort of cultivating that unselfishness. So try that. You can really judge yourself on what percentage do you pray for yourself or for others. But try this, not praying for yourself for a day. So every time you want to pray and say, God, please help. Okay, get someone else. So what we did in our cell, we drew names, and everyone in the cell got someone else. And for that specific day, we all prayed for the other person. And just amazing, we're so selfish, actually, in our hearts. It's really quite a challenging place, actually, to not pray for yourself. But I want to encourage you to do that as well, to trust the Lord, to shift that. Maybe we pray 80% of the time for ourselves and 20% for others. It should be maybe the other way around, just 20% of the time for ourselves and 80% for others. But yeah, that's in short what I would like to share today. I hope you've been challenged in some way, or maybe seeing the Great Commission in a bit of a different light, because it was for me just a bit of a revelation again, seeing how sort of what happened in Mark, and not sort of in the normal Matthew 28 one, just the steps. And so the three steps again are to rebuke that unbelief, to read the commands and understand the commands of God, and to be obedient, to take action, to get going. So let's stand tonight as we close. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Father, for this amazing time, Father, in your presence, God. Thank you for who you are, Lord, and just speaking to us through your word. That's absolute truth, Father. And we just acknowledge again, Lord, that you are God, that you are amazing, God, and that your word is true, Father, Lord. Every single word, Lord, in the Bible, the word of God is truth, Lord, from cover to cover, Lord, from Genesis to Revelation. It is truth, Father, Lord, and we choose to believe that this morning, Father. And we know that you want to speak to us through your word. And it's not just merely a suggestion or just a help to get us through life, Lord. But this is the book of life. This is the manual of life, Father, Lord. And this is your word and your truth for us, Father, and your heart for us. And Lord, help us to really be stirred again, Lord, in our hearts. To have such a hunger, Lord God, to delve into Scripture, into your word, Father. To want to know you more and more intimately through that, Father. Yeah, hallelujah, Father. Thank you for just that, Father. Thank you for your word that we have that is still freely available, Lord, in our country as well, Lord. That we don't have to sit in secret, Lord, and read your word, Lord. You know, Lord. We can freely just read your word, Lord. That's freely available. And we don't take that for granted, Father. Yeah, this evening I also really just want to specifically ask if there's people who are here maybe struggling with complacency. And I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but just maybe as a sign to the Lord, and just to raise your hand and say, God, this is something that I've been struggling with, this complacency and unbelief, selfishness, just focused on myself, and just raise your hand, maybe there where you are, and just say, Lord, this is me. Yeah, thanks for those hands. I just want to pray a blessing over you guys. Father, thank you for every single person here this morning. Lord, thank you for our hearts, Lord. Thank you that you see the hearts of every single person here, Lord. And I specifically want to pray for every person that has raised their hands, Lord. And how you've spoken to them this morning, Lord God, regarding complacency in their hearts, Lord. And whether it's big or whether it's small, Father, Lord, or whether you're just challenging them in some small way, Lord, about their focus, or just to shift, Lord, their focus onto eternal things and eternal perspective and not to themselves and their own little world, Father. But Lord, I really pray just that you will come and reveal your heart to them, Lord God, that you will come and open up that great commission once again to them and say, go out and preach to every nation, Father, Lord. And thank you, Father, that you empower them, Lord, to do that, that you give them the strength, Father, Lord, that you've given them the command, Lord God. And I pray that your spirit will be stirred up inside of them, Lord God, and there will be such a passion and a desire to want to go, Lord God, to not want to hold back the good news of the gospel, whether it be small things, Father, Lord, but just testifying, Lord God, sharing of your goodness and your grace, and sharing of what Jesus has done in their lives, Father, Lord. And thank you for fellowship, Lord. Thank you for believers that can encourage each other and can walk in faith together, Lord God. That we can really just get excited about what you're doing in us and through us, Father. And that's awesome, Father, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Father, this evening, I just want to ask if there's anyone here that maybe a lot of the stuff in the Great Commission, if it's not, you don't feel it's really connecting, and you don't know why it's necessary, and we talk about having a relationship with the Lord. And if there's anyone here who maybe doesn't know the Lord, I'd also like to provide an opportunity for you to meet with Jesus Christ, our awesome Savior.